Let us again come and seek the face of God in a moment's prayer. You can remain seated while we pray and ask for the Lord's help as we come to his word. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for thy precious word. We thank you, Lord, it is forever settled in heaven. Heaven and earth will pass away, but thy word remaineth. And our Heavenly Father, we thank you that it is infallible, it is inerrant, and it is inspired, the holy word of God. And Lord, I thank you that it is a living word. Lord, yes, it was given by this divine inspiration many years ago, but Lord, it's right up to date for this very present day. And our Heavenly Father, I pray that as we would come and gather around thy word, I pray and ask that, Lord, you would come and take away all distracting thoughts, O God. I pray, dear God, that you would close us in with thyself. Lord, I pray that you would empty me of self and sin and fill me with thy Spirit. Help me, Lord, to bring thy word. I pray that as we sang in that hymn for power, I pray for the power of the Holy Spirit to rest and remain upon me this morning, not to glorify me, but, Lord, to glorify our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you that the devil is defeated today, and we pray that you would drive him back as far as thou would see fit from this place. Lord, that he would not be able to hinder the going forth of thy word. Bless it to each and every one of our hearts, we pray and ask these things in our precious Savior's name and for our Savior's sake. Amen. Amen. It is the last few verses of Matthew chapter 28 I want to leave with you this morning. We'll just read it again. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. Amen. I want to consider with you this morning, for the time that remains, encouragements for serving Christ. Encouragements for serving Christ. And it is from these three verses I want to draw your attention to this morning. And I want to draw some lessons that each and every one of us as believers this morning can not only read upon and to meditate upon, but also to apply to each and every one of our lives. And we'll be thinking this morning of Christ's great claim, his great commission, and then his great comfort for Christian service. Throughout the history of the New Testament church, the people of God have faced many opposition, faced a lot of opposition from different people and different forces and from different angles. Yet in our text today, we have here what I believe is the word for this congregation this morning. As I came across these verses a number of weeks ago as I was reading them and thinking upon them, and the Lord just put it into my heart for the congregation here, my own congregation in Macrofield, and that is the word that had been given to me a number of weeks ago, but I didn't know when I would be here preaching, but then Mr. McKee was in touch, and here I am today. The New Testament church faced many difficulties, and it's the same for us today, brethren and sisters. It's not a plain sailing for the Church of Jesus Christ today. There's going to be many bumps along the road. There's going to be difficulties. There's going to be storms. There's going to be trials that we will have to face. There are many oppressors. There are many who are seeking to oppose the Word of God today. And even as we've had this mission this past week, there's people that have not wanted the mission to be taking place, but the mission has took place because this church has had a vision. The session have had a vision for the souls of this town and for this district. Souls that need the Savior, souls that need to be saved, whether Catholic or Protestant or of some other religious background, no matter what the sin they have committed, sinners need to be saved today. And here we have some lessons which I want us to be reminded of and to apply to our own hearts and lives this morning. Notice firstly with me, please, the great claim for Christian service. The great claim for Christian service. Verse 18 there, our Savior said, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Now, before the Lord Jesus Christ had instructed his disciples what he wanted them to do, he spoke something which was to give them confidence for the way ahead and for the work which lay ahead as well. For the work of God is the work of God, and His Holy Spirit alone. And yes, while it pleases the Lord to use weak human instruments like you and I, ultimately, it is not in the power of the flesh. It is not upon the wisdom of man. It is not upon the schemes of man that success or victory or a profitable outcome is going to be the outcome or the result. It is upon the work of the Spirit of God, but it is also how we need the power of God. We need the power of Christ. That is why the Savior said, before He gave the Great Commission, He says here, all power is given unto Me. Not to the church, not to a man, but all power is given unto Christ. And it is to Christ this morning, brethren and sisters, that we ought to be looking to afresh. It is not to yourselves, it is not to the wisdom which we have, it is not to the schemes or the organizations or the organizing or the planning that we can do. Because as believers this morning, we must realize that we, in and of ourselves, we do not have this power. But we can look to the One who is in heaven this morning, who said these words, all power is given unto Me. And brethren and sisters, that ought to encourage us this morning, because you and I know that at each and every point of our lives as Christians, our faith is not what it ought to be. At times we have those fainting fits. At times we have those moments of doubt. At times in our own minds, in our own hearts, we question God. But yet, brethren and sisters, this morning, the Lord Jesus Christ here in Matthew 28, He says, all power is given unto Me. And here the Savior is speaking to His disciples. He wasn't speaking to non-Christians here. He was speaking to those whom He had saved by His precious, those whom He would save by His precious blood, but those whom He had called to serve Him. And brethren and sisters, Christ has called each and every one of us to serve Him. We are saved this morning not to be sitting doing nothing, but we're saved to be serving our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. What a privilege it is. It's a privilege for me to be even standing up here this morning and to be addressing you as a congregation. But it is a privilege, brethren and sisters, whatever it is the Lord asks you to do for Him. And here He speaks to His disciples and He directs them. He directed them to go to a mountain. Verse 16 there He says, then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. There they were obedient to the direction of the Savior. He had appointed them to go to that mountain. And so, brethren and sisters, so ought we to do things which are in accordance with the Word and the will of God. We're not to be running about doing things which are willy-nilly or which are outside the will of God. But we ought to be submitting every aspect of our life and our heart to the Lord and what He would have us to do for Him. Now, we are told in different parts of the Bible how the Savior and His disciples went and met upon a mountain, whether that was to pray or where the Savior would teach His disciples there upon that mountain. But it was a place of special significance. It was a place of teaching. It was a place of praying. It was a place of fellowship. And so, brethren and sisters, that reminds us of the importance of prayer. It reminds us of the importance of being taught as the disciples were taught from the Savior, by the Savior. So ought we to be taught by the Savior from His Word. Now we're told in Matthew chapter 14, if you could turn with me back a few pages. Matthew chapter 14. I want you to see this for yourself. Matthew 14 and the verse 23. Or we'll just read verse 22 there as well. And it says, and straightway Jesus constrained His disciples to get into a ship and to go before Him onto the other side, while He sent the multitudes away. And when He had sent the multitudes away, He went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, He was there alone. And that's just one instance where the Savior Himself went up into a mountain to pray, to get away from the hustle and bustle, to get away from the crowds, just to seek His Heavenly Father on His own, to seek Him in prayer, to fellowship with Him, to be ministered unto by Him. And so, as the disciples were instructed, as they were appointed by the Lord to go into the mountain and to wait for Him there, We read as well that sadly there were those that doubted his resurrection. Now, we didn't take time to this morning, but if you can read it when you go home. The earlier part of chapter 28, it is a wonderful record of how the Saviour rose from the dead. And praise the Lord this morning, brethren and sisters, we serve a risen Saviour. We are not looking to a dead prophet this morning. We're not praying or presenting to you somebody or something that is a figment of our imagination, no. But we're worshipping the Lord Jesus Christ who lived and died and rose again. And as Matthew chapter 28 records this for us, he is the risen Saviour, the one who rose from the dead for the justification of his people. But also, as some believed that he had rose from the dead, sadly some doubted. We think of Thomas, doubting Thomas as he's known by in John chapter 20, verses 24 to 29. And how Thomas said, unless he was able to put his hand and the Saviour's hand into the very place where the nails were placed, he would not believe. And sadly, some of God's people today doubt our Saviour and his ability. And brethren and sisters, the Saviour here was addressing the doubt of those who were doubting. He was addressing those who did not really believe that he had rose from the dead. And that is very significant, brethren and sisters, because before he commands his disciples to go out and to take the gospel to the nations, he is encouraging them here with this great fact that he has all the power. The Lord Jesus Christ has all the power. Notice there, in heaven and in earth. No satanic power is able to overcome the power of Christ. No scheme of man, no power of hell can overcome the Saviour. And that is why the Saviour said this first of all to his disciples, to encourage them for the work that lay ahead. Notice here Christ's approach. He says there in verse 18, and Jesus came and spake unto them. Notice here, he came unto them. And that word came simply has the thought of drawing near, to approach. And here the Lord Jesus Christ was approaching. He was drawing near unto his disciples. He drew closer so they could see clearly and that they would have no doubts who it was before them, that it was the Saviour himself. Oh, brethren and sisters, how wonderful it is at times in our own Christian experience when perhaps we're going through the valley of doubt, we're discouraged, we're questioning why we're going through a difficult time or whatever it is. But yet when the Saviour comes along and draws alongside, and oh, how his presence makes the feast. His presence encourages us. His presence is what we need to encourage us and to strengthen us, to help us to keep going on, to keep pressing on in the Christian journey. And that is why I want us to notice here that the Saviour, he came and he approached his disciples. But also notice here that he had an answer for their doubt. He had an answer for their doubt. That's why he said, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. These words, brethren and sisters, this morning, they speak of the fullness of his authority that he had demonstrated during his earthly ministry. In those few instances that are recorded for us in the Bible, because the Bible could not contain all the works of our Saviour, but for what the Scriptures do contain, how he taught, how he performed many miracles, how he forgave sins, how he casted out the demons. Not just some power, he says here, but all power. There's no hindrance, there's no limitation to our Saviour this morning. Oh yes, there's many limitations, there's many hindrances to man this morning, but there's no limitation, brethren and sisters, there's no hindrance to Christ this morning, because he says, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Why? Because he is God. He is the eternal Son of God. With him there is no weakness, no limit, and no hindrance upon his part. He claims all power and all right to exercise it as the resurrected mediator of his people. The one who came and accomplished that work of redemption for sinners like you and I upon the cross of Calvary. And it is in his role as the mediator that he is here speaking because he was now resurrected. He had arose from the dead. He had defeated death. He had defeated the devil. The powers of the grave had no hold upon him. The devil and the forces of darkness had no power over him either. And that is why he could triumphantly say, "All power is given unto me." Because he is the God-man. Because he is the only head of his church who gives eternal life to those given to him by the Father. John chapter 17 and verse 2. In his great high priestly prayer, that's what he said. He's the King of kings and the Lord of lords. And he governs this world and he governs his people. These miracles recorded for us in Scripture prove to us his power without, beyond a shadow of a doubt. But yet, notice there, turn back with me, please, to Matthew chapter 8. The Savior says something very interesting, which I want you to notice. Matthew chapter 8 and the verse 4. Now, the Savior had just proved his power again. He had healed a man. But he says to the leper here in verse 4 of Matthew 8, he says, "And Jesus saith unto him, See thou tell no man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a testimony unto them." Now, why did the Savior say there to this leper whom he healed, "See thou tell no man"? And then turn with me over to chapter 9, just over the next chapter. Chapter 9 and the verse 30. Again, he says something similar. He speaks to the blind men and he says, "Their eyes were opened, and Jesus straightly charged them, saying, See that no man know it." So here again, the Savior is speaking to these people whom he has healed, and he tells them, he asks them not to tell what has been done for them. But then also as well in chapter 26, if you turn with me, turn forward to chapter 26. Chapter 26 and the verse 53. The Savior says, "Thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels?" And here he is declaring that how he has the power to call down a legion of angels to help him, but yet he didn't, because he knew that he would have to go to the cross. And before his death and resurrection, his power was not the same as it was after his resurrection. And that is why he spoke to the leper and the blind man, saying, "Tell no man these things." And the Lord Jesus Christ, when he had rose from the dead, he always had power. There's no disputing that. He always had the power. But before his death, it was not exerted in the same sense as it was after his death, or after his resurrection. That raising the dead, when he would raise the dead at the end of the age and come to judge all men, that is when we see that his power in fullness will be demonstrated. The Lord Jesus Christ rose from the dead and has unrestricted power this morning. He has universal sovereignty, as he claims he has. He has the claims after his resurrection for this unrestricted power, that he is the only sovereign of this universe, and which he exercises until he will return. His glory and his earthly labors, let us see here as well in Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Because his return to glory was his desire. He desired it. When we read in John 17 in verse 5, he desired to return to the glory that he shared with the Father before he came into the world. And we know that he rose from the dead because the Father was fully satisfied with his sacrifice. But Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 19. And it says there in Ephesians 1:19, "And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places. Here we see again, brethren and sisters, this morning, this mighty power that the Saviour has. Also in Philippians chapter 2, verses 9 to 10, and in Revelation chapter 5, what a claim that is for us to hear this morning and to be reminded of, that our Saviour has all the power and aid at his disposal for serving him this morning. Notice secondly with me this morning, the Great Commission for Christian service. The Great Commission for Christian service. Verses 19 and 20 tell us, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you." Here we have the Saviour declaring the Great Commission to his disciples. Now we know that the Lord Jesus Christ in 1 Timothy 1 and 15, he came into this world to save sinners. And the Saviour came and commenced his ministry by preaching. In Mark chapter 1 and the verse 15, it tells us that the Saviour came saying, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel." And he says here in verse 19 of Matthew 28, he says, "Go, go." And that is to his disciples to go. Before he was to return to glory, they were to go. And they were to go and to serve him to the furthest ends of the earth. He gave his disciples this great task to take the message of the gospel, the message that would save sinners, the message that would transform their lives to the rest of this world. And today, brethren and sisters, that great commission is still for us to fulfill. That great commission is still for us as believers to be a part of, to take the gospel to our neighbours, to our loved ones, to the nations round about us. It is for us today as just it was for the disciples in Christ's day. We see here in this verse the great zeal that the Saviour had. The great zeal that he had for sinners from every nation, from every background, from every people group, from every tribe and tongue and language, that they would come and to know him, as many of us in here this morning do, that we know him as our own and our personal Saviour, that he's saved us by his grace. And oh, the brethren and sisters, we would have such a zeal for the Saviour, for the Saviour, yes, but also for the nations, for the lost in our town, in our district, for those that have no thought or concern for their soul and for their soul's salvation. And as we see the zeal of the Saviour here and his command for the disciples to go, simply to go, oh, that we would have that desire. As the Saviour lamented in Matthew chapter 23 and the verse 37, he said, Jesus said unto them, 23, verse 37, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not." And here we see how the Saviour was so full of compassion over Jerusalem. They had rejected him. The vast majority of them had rejected him. And yet he was so burdened for them that they would come, that they would turn away from their sin, that they would trust in him. And so that ought to be our burden. That ought to be our desire as believers this morning, that those still in their sin, those still on that broad road that is leading them to a Christless hell, oh, that they would come to our Saviour this morning. Oh, that they would come and taste and see, as the psalmist said, that the Lord, he is indeed good. That word therefore in that verse, it simply carries the thought of the meaning that as Christ had commanded his disciples to go, he had promised them to give them the strength required for this task, because he is worthy of our obedience and our submission. And so as Christ commanded his disciples to go, in the knowledge that he has the power to help them, to strengthen them for the work ahead, so as we this morning, brethren and sisters, so ought we to go forward this morning. Go forward this morning with God, dear child of God. Go forward and live for him. Go forward and serve him. Don't parade before him all your excuses, but simply obey him. Simply submit to him as your Lord and your Master, and go forward and be obedient to whatever it is he has for you to do. But not only here do we see that he told him to go, but he told him to teach as well. And this word has the thought of being a disciple of one. We could also render that word teach as making disciples. He commanded his disciples to go and to make other disciples of other sinners who had yet to come and to trust in him. He had saved them to serve him. And he wanted his disciples to go to tell others, that others would come to know the Savior as they did, that they would make disciples of others. And yet, as well as that, he would send them to go to the nations, to teach all nations. There's no hindrance there. There's no nation or country been left out. That word means every nation, all nations, he says there. Go therefore and teach all nations. Teach them. And that is what we are ought to be engaged in this morning, brethren and sisters. Whether we are praying for a work or we're supporting it financially, or whether it is we're doing some other way in which we're able to help a missionary or a missionary endeavor, we ought to be having our part. We have a part to play in the Great Commission today. And as the Savior told his disciples to go and make other disciples from all nations, so ought we to be making disciples from whoever it is we meet, whether that's in our own family circle or our places of work, that we would be shining lights for Christ wherever it is he has placed us, because the Lord can use us wherever it is he has placed us. And this was his expectation, that there would be those who would come and be saved. Because the Savior didn't send them out on an errand that was going to achieve nothing. He was not sending them out to do something which would not see people saved, which would not see a work done for the Lord. No, the Lord sent them out with the power and the command to go and to teach, because the Savior was going to bless his word. And brethren and sisters, this morning, it is the word of God we present, we bring to you. It is the word of God we point men and women and boys and girls to in our Sunday school, in our children's meetings, in our Lord's Day services, in our open airs. It is not to ourselves, but it is to the word of God, because that is what God blesses. It is the preaching, it is the expository preaching and teaching of his word that God does bless. But he also says here, he asked him, he told him to go and to baptize. And once a sinner is converted to Christ, they need to be baptized in the things, or not only, they need to be discipled in the things of God, but they also need to be baptized. Baptism is simply an outward sign. It is an identification that we are one with Christ, that we are identifying that we are a follower of Jesus Christ. There's no special salvation experience in baptism, nor are we saved by baptism, but it is simply an outward sign that we are a Christian, that we are following the Lord. And yes, while there is different opinions on the modes of baptism among Christians, but brothers and sisters, the mode of baptism is not to be something to fall out upon. But what is important here to notice is that as Christ sent his disciples out to go and to make disciples and to baptize them, so baptism is a commandment. And the Savior requires that of every Christian, that we be baptized, that it identifies us with the Savior. And so, brethren and sisters, if you're in here this morning and you're not baptized, well, you ought to be baptized, because it is a command of Scripture. It is the desire, it is the will of God that you as a Christian would be baptized here today. And all this was done, brethren and sisters, we see here at the end of verse 19. It was all done in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. It is not to anything or anybody else that we point sinners to, but it is to Almighty God. And it is in his power, it is on his strength alone. It is to him alone that we point sinners. It's not to yourselves, it's not to their church, but it is to God. Because it is to God to whom they will have one day to do. And then we see here in verse 20, he says, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And this word signifies to us this morning, it means to instruct. And as he said there in verse 19, to make disciples, so here he is telling them to go and to teach them. as young infant Christians, young babes in Christ, they need to be instructed in the things of God. That is why we bring the Word of God. It's not to anything else, but it is to the Bible, because the Bible, as we are so often to tell it to the boys and girls, it is basic instructions before leaving earth. It is God's holy, infallible, inerrant, inspired word, brethren and sisters. And it is to the word of God that we get our doctrine for what we are to believe and what we are to teach, but also what we are not to believe, also what we are not to do. That is what the Bible is for. It is for our instruction. It is for our edification. And that is why the Savior told his disciples to teach them whatsoever things he had taught them. And what we have been taught, brethren and sisters, as Christians, is from the Word of God. Nowhere else, nothing else. Not like the Book of Mormon that the cult of the false Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints teaches. It's not to the Book of Mormon, it's not to the Quran, but it is to the Bible, and it is to the Bible alone. That is where we get our teaching. That is where we get our doctrine this morning. And lastly, I want you to notice with me the great comfort for Christian service. The great comfort for Christian service. You see, the Savior knew that some of those disciples, there was doubt. And that is why he came and drew near. That is why he said unto them, all power is given unto me in heaven and on earth. So here he encouraged them that he had the power, he had the resources, he had the ability that could not be hindered, that could not be plumb dry. He had the resources, he had the strength and power that they needed to go out and to take the gospel to the nations. And here he comforts them with this great promise. And lo, I am with you. I am with you. Always, even unto the end of the world. As the Lord had declared unto them his power and the scope of his power that he has at his fingertips, he commanded them to go and to make disciples, to baptize them, to teach them in the things of God. And he concludes his message with this great, wonderful promise. And brethren and sisters, take this promise to heart afresh this morning. Yes, you've maybe heard it umpteen times over your years as being a Christian. But take it again to your heart this morning. Lo, Christ is with you. Always. Even unto the end of the world. That word lo there, it signifies to behold, to look upon, to see. And then he says, lo, I am with you. Those words, I am, speak to us of how the Savior is the great I am of the Bible. He is the great I am. He is the light of the world. He is the resurrection and the life. He's the bread of life. He is the shepherd of his sheep. And he says, I am with you always. Here we see another declaration of his deity as the God-man, the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who is the Jehovah of the Old Testament, is the Jesus Christ in the New Testament. And that his presence would be with them, not just for some time, not for little time, not never, but that his presence would be with them always. And lo, I am with you. I am with you. Always, he says, even unto the end of the world. His presence would always be with them. That little word always carries the thought of the 24-hour day from dawn till dusk, or figuratively speaking of a period of time. And brethren and sisters, Christ will be with us always, even unto the end of the age, and to the end of the world. Why? Because we are his people. He has bought us with his precious blood. He has redeemed us out of the slave market of sin. He has reconciled us unto his heavenly Father, where once we were a child of God at enmity, a child of the devil at enmity against God. But yet when we got saved, when we became a Christian, we were born again, that we were brought into a reconciled state before God, that we had that desire to live for God, to love him, to serve him because he saved us and he redeemed us with his precious blood, but that also he adopted us into his family, where once we were a child of the devil, but then we were adopted into his family. And that is why we can cry out, Abba, Father, because we are an adopted child of God this morning. Oh, my friend, if you know not that promise, if you know not the Saviour as your own and personal Saviour, if you know not Christ this morning, and you're watching in over Facebook or sermon audio this morning, this can be your promise if you will come and trust in Christ. And brethren and sisters, take this promise away with you this morning. Take this promise to your home. Take this promise into the week with you that would lie ahead in the will of God, that Christ is with you always. In the workplace, in the home, in the car, on the street, he is with you always. He is with you as you lay your head in the pillow at night. And you can say it as well with your soul, because you're a Christian, because you're saved, because of what Christ has done for you. We've noticed here this morning, as our time draws to a close, we've noticed Christ's great claim. All power is given unto me in heaven and on earth. We also noticed his great commission. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe whatsoever things, all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And then we noticed lastly, Christ's great comfort for Christian service. Oh, brethren and sisters, Christ is not going to abandon his people who serve him. He's not going to leave them down and discouraged when perhaps they do not see the results they would like to see. Isaiah 55 said that God's word will not return unto him void. And here, brethren and sisters, he promises to be with you every step of the way. Boys and girls, this morning, it's good to see you in the house of God. The Lord promises to be with you, boys and girls. If you're a Christian, if you know the Lord as your own and personal Savior, Jesus says he promises to be with you. Even as you go back to school and things are different, as you go back to university and things are different, things are strange, yes, but he's with you. He's with you every step of the way. And that is the encouragement that we can take away this morning, brethren and sisters. That is the comfort that Christ has for us, his people. He has the power. He's commanded us to go. Each and every one of us has a part to play in the Great Commission. And there is that comfort that he is with us every step of the way, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Let us close our time in a word of prayer. Now, thank you sincerely for your attention this morning. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the instruction from thy word. We thank you, Father, for the encouragement that we have received and the teaching that we have received from thy word afresh. We thank you, Lord, that all power is given unto Christ in heaven and on earth. Heavenly Father, help us to be obedient to thee. Help us, Lord, to seek first the kingdom of God and thy righteousness, and all these things will be added unto us. That, Lord, we would see disciples made. That, Lord, we would hear and see signs following the preaching of thy word in this gospel mission especially. And as the youth Bible class will recommence on Zoom, and the Sunday school on the Lord's Day afternoon, and the open airs, and every other opportunity that we get, Lord, I pray that it would bear forth and bring forth much fruit for thy glory and for thy honour. And Lord, we thank you that Christ has promised to be with us, his people, every step of the way, even unto the end of the age, unto the end of the world. Part us now, I pray, in thy fear and in thy favour, and may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God rest and remain with us this day and forevermore. Amen.